everybody. Welcome to the Midnight Fretcast, episode number maybe 96. I am one of your hosts, Josh. Sitting with me today, as always, is the Scream Queen herself, Betty.
Wee! Here I am.
The Doctor of Filmonomics, Greg.
Betty, I'll pay $10 to hear you do that every time.
And the Doctor of Everything Else, Patrick.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How is it going? How has everybody's week been? Good week? Everybody good?
It was a busy week. Yeah.
What was that, Maddie?
I said we're here.
You're here. And that's always the hard part. Trailer time. We're going to walk into a trailer. We're just going to start. Matt picked a trailer for a new film called Cuckoo. I don't know where Maddie found it. Where did you find this, Maddie?
I am in love with Hunter Schafer, so I think my Facebook algorithm pops up with stuff whenever she's in it, and it just pops up. On...
What else has she done then? Because I don't know that name.
She was in Euphoria.
Okay, that's why I don't know
and
that name.
Since I was gonna say, since none of you are 18-year-old girls, I don't think you would have watched that show.
Gotcha. Cool. Do we have some deets on Cuckoo? What is it?
Yeah, we got some deets. Oh, go ahead, Maddie.
Oh, I'm still logging into my phone if you've got deets.
Okay, yeah. All it's got right now is a 17-year-old girl is forced to move in with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem.
Okay, that's basically what I got from the teaser trailer. That's basically it. What did everybody think?
I like more teaser style trailers like this. I know we've touched on this before that they're making trailers way too long. They're showing the whole movie, all its bits and business, and especially in horror movies, they tend to show all the creepy parts, and then you get to the movie and you're like, "Well, there was all the creepy parts." And so I liked that this was a very, very short kind of teaser trailer, but this one almost was too short. There's nothing really in it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. They're all 35, 45 seconds, and they all showed basically the same thing, which was the main character walking down this, hallway with a voiceover of some sort going over it, and then it went black, and then this monster thing came up, and it really gives you nothing beyond that. It tells you nothing, which is fine, kind of, but, then you go to look it up, what the movie's about, and that also gives you nothing. So it's a very mysterious movie at the moment.
Well, which is weird because it releases, it says May 3rd, which is it's coming up pretty quick, so it's kind of weird to just not have anything really out, at least a full trailer or more of a synopsis or anything. It's a mystery. The mystery movie's a mystery,
which doesn't have to be a bad thing, but I mean, if you're trying to sell your film, trying to promote your film, give people something,
here's a little bit more a little bit more information. Reluctantly, 17-year-old Gretchen leaves her American home to live with her father, who's just moved into a resort in the German Alps with his new family. Arriving at their future residence, they are greeted by Mr. Koenig, her father's boss, who takes an inexplicable interest in Gretchen's mute half-sister, Alma. Something doesn't seem right in this tranquil vacation paradise. Gretchen is plagued by strange noises and bloody visions until she discovers a shocking secret that also concerns her own family.
Okay, well, that was a ton more information.
Yeah.
That was way more. Show some of that shit in the trailer. Give something.
I was okay with the trailer being that short and showing that little because it piqued my interest more than, what was that last trailer we saw that was actually a short film? Compared to
The lovely Dark and Deep, that was the whole fucking
movie. they showed probably every highlight of the movie in that one. This one intrigued me, and I want to come back and see the full trailer once that one comes out. This one did pique my interest, and I'll probably keep an eye out for it.
Greg?
I almost kind of have to side with Maddie on this, with there being minimal given to us as viewers. I think it's kind of following a trope that horror needs to follow more so than in its regular feature length films, as well as its trailers, in that you're allowing the audience to utilize their imagination on what the movie is going to be about or what they're actually seeing, instead of just taking out a giant silver shovel and saying, here you go, enjoy, it's not as good as you could have made it be, but this is what we're going to give you because I'm a terrible director. So I'm very interested to see what this is more about. And, you know, I almost wonder if you look back to movies like, we had watched the trailer for, I don't want to call it If, because that's the animated one. What was the one with the bear that goes bananas?
Cocaine Bear.
Not
Cocaine
that one. I did not specify. I apologize. The trailer, not the feature, the trailer of the one with like an imaginary friend that possesses a teddy bear or something.
It's called Imaginary.
Friend. Okay, thank you. They showed way too much in that for it to really be, I feel, interesting. If they would have cut back and did a quick 30-second teaser of that, I would have been a lot more interested in wanting to go check that out just to see what all of it was about, instead of showing the yoked up bear at the end with the giant teeth and make me not want to watch it. I'll just go watch Cocaine Bear again. But okay, I am interested in seeing a little bit more about what Cuckoo Ca-Choo is all about.
So to play devil's advocate, okay, I'm agreeing with the whole not spoon feeding thing. Totally down with that. But going back to your comment about letting the audience use their imagination, you gotta give them something. Like, I couldn't imagine in a million years what that movie's about just based off of two shots. There's no imagination I could ever come up with about what that movie is based on those two shots.
Right, but doesn't that make you want to investigate it further, as in what we've done here? We've gone and looked up plot points and things like that. It's intriguing you that much more of, you've given me just an appetizer of what this movie is all about. I want to go find out more, instead of here's Cocaine Bear in 30 seconds.
I felt like it gave me more of a, like a crouton and a glass of water than an appetizer, but that's just me. So I'm hungry for more. I'm a big guy. Give me food.
It's like communion at a Lutheran church. They give you just enough that you want to, you know, you're sitting there hungry for lunch the rest of the
afternoon. Right. I have my wafer and the grape juice wine.
So Cuckoo, everybody go check it out. You can find it on YouTube. It'll take exactly 35 to 45 seconds of your time to find out what Cuckoo is all about. Topic time. Maddie came up with a couple of topics, threw them at us. Topic we're covering right quickly today. Right quickly.
Josh, you speak well.
I know. Thank you. unpopular horror opinions. And because Maddie threw it out there, I'm going to let Maddie kind of start.
Oh, what's an unpopular horror opinion of mine? All of them are, judging by how much I get fucking screamed at every time I pick a movie on here. I think, like, one of my biggest unpopular horror movie opinions is, like, I think it's totally okay for bad slasher movies to make 9 million sequels. I don't know why I think that's acceptable. I just think it's, like, it's a go-to. It's something familiar. Like, I'll watch Hellraiser 8. Why do I care? It's eventually they all go into space around 8 or 9, so who gives a shit? But, like, I know a lot of people see, you know, that Hellraiser 8, and they're like, not again. I'm about that, and I'd rather have those shitty sequels than a shitty remake of the original any day of the week.
And I was actually just going to ask you that. What would your thoughts be on taking like a 10-year break and then a reboot? Would you rather just have them make Hellraiser 10, 11, and 12 and just try to keep it going within that initial universe?
Yeah. Reboots and remakes have been proven, I think, time and time again to be stupid. They either make a shot by shot remake, which nobody needed or asked for, or they change it so much that nobody also asked for it. I think if you just keep it along that same vein, keep it getting ridiculous, like make it so the only person who is going to enjoy that movie is going to be on so much acid they think that they are Jason themselves, and we can just go and enjoy it. Those movies are cheesy and campy and whatever anyway, so just continue in that same vein. That this opinion doesn't extend to like some more serious horror movies. Stop making The Exorcist sequels, no one wants them, okay? But just keep on that cheesy, shitty gravy train if you got it going on. That shit train. I want the shit train. I don't want the gravy train.
Danny just had 40 unpopular opinions in that one unpopular opinion. You threw 40 things.
So for this topic, are these opinions that we have that think that would be unpopular amongst the horror community, or are we discussing opinions that we feel? I don't know.
Another person's opinion, Patrick.
Well, no, what I'm saying is someone can voice their opinion that they think is unpopular, and I don't know.
I came with a list because I thought it would just spark discussion. So while I came with possibly other people's opinions that I may or may not agree with, I came with some opinions that were in the horror community just to spark discussion. So some people, one of the things that, again, not my unpopular opinion, not really, but I think an unpopular opinion amongst people would be that slow burn horror films are better than horror films that are full of, you know, action and jump scares, stuff like that. Which again, if somebody came up to me and said, hey, I prefer a slow burn film over jump scares and action, I would tell them to their face that they're wrong.
Yeah, if you like slow burn horror, I assume you still are or just stopped breastfeeding.
Another unpopular opinion, Maddie. 41.
Yeah, Greg, yeah, back at you.
That was my unpopular opinion. Y'all suck.
Just like stuff like horror films don't have to be gory to be entertaining.
Josh, are you looking at the same Reddit feed that I'm looking at?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what Reddit feed you're looking at.
Oh, God, we've turned into the BuzzFeed horror podcast where we just go on Reddit and get our...
Oh, one, because we brought this up a couple weeks ago, I will throw this out there. So this may spark, because this was a discussion, this is a film we were going to talk about and then we didn't talk about. And this unpopular horror opinion was Skinamarink is terrifying. Help me out here.
Skinamarink is nauseating.
Skinamarink is the most boring piece of shit I've seen in my life. It is time I will never get back. It is just a guy with a fucking camcorder that pointed at the ceiling for 3/4 of the movie. It sucks balls and nobody should waste their time on it. I don't care what critic is out there saying it was one of the best movies of 2021, 22, whenever the fuck it came out. They are fucking brain damaged people.
Patrick goes on a rant. I like this.
That was my popular opinion. Or Patrick's popular opinion. That opinion was not unpopular in this group.
And Josh is like, I really like Skinamarink.
No, I was not big on the Smurf cam for that movie. So,
what the fuck does that even mean?
That whole movie was blue. The whole movie was blue. The whole movie.
And it was like filmed on a nanny cam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The quality was so bad. It was.
I thought you meant it was filmed by short people, and I was.
I would watch that.
Short blue people.
I would watch that.
Here's something, that there should be more final guys, because there's no no, there's no films really with final guys.
No. Women live longer than men, and for a reason. If you go on to like YouTube, or Reddit, what the fuck, and type in guys that are fucking like running, like putting firecrackers up their ass, or like running a dirt bike across their balls, that's all you.
How much time do you spend on Reddit, well, Maddie?
You know what? Lord. It's hard for a woman to run a bike over their balls. So
our balls are up higher. It prevents chafing. Again, another reason why we're outliving you.
Are we still on topic?
Okay.
We drifted. I'm going to throw out an opinion that you have to have seen all of the classics in order to be a horror fan.
No.
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 And no.
You should, but no.
I don't agree with that. Yeah. No.
I feel like you will eventually, if you're wanting to get into horror, you start with the ones that you want to see, and as you dive deeper, then you work your way backwards and check out what led up to that point.
Right. I think watching the classics is kind of like Greg said, good in a way of like, you know, kind of exploring where a lot of today's themes came from. So if you want to, you know, deep dive into that, I think that's a good idea. But I don't think you have to see all the Universal Monster movies and all those classics that go back to the 30s to enjoy horror today. I don't. But again, unpopular opinion.
Unpopular?
I've got one. A24 films, that I mean all of them, are shit. I am so fucking tired of those popping up. I finally tried to watch Midsommar, and like I almost just offed myself like 20 minutes in, just because I was like, I can't believe I live in the same fucking universe as the person that made this piece of shit. And I just wanted to be off this planet. His movies are so bad. Like Hereditary, terrible. The Witch.
He made The Void?
He did not make The Void, and I will fucking come over there. No. Just all of them. I have never seen an A24 movie that was even like acceptable. They're so pompous. Like, I can't get over that pretentious shit. And the only people that I know that have enjoyed them have been on like Ambien the entire time they're watching them. And I'm like, if you can't watch a movie and enjoy it like off drugs, it doesn't need to exist.
I'm gonna replace our news segment for a new segment called Maddie Moments, where we just give her a topic and let her go. Because this has been like, here's my one unpopular opinion, and then here's the 50 that follow that go with that unpopular opinion. And I'm just going to keep going till I get all of my unpopular opinions into this one mix of things.
I feel like you could just like play back half of the shit that I open my mouth and say, like, The Void is one of the greatest movies we've ever had.
Well, that's an unpopular opinion right there.
Yeah.
That's an opinion that nobody will agree with. Find them. Yeah. So I just came with a list of some other unpopular opinions just to spark some discussion, but
yeah, let's hear them.
I've already kind of thrown them out, really. One of them was, you know, more villains should win at the end of movies and less final girls. So I might be on the same, I might have been on the same feed as Greg was on for a little while, as far as like finding some things. But again, that's an unpopular opinion that I actually agree with. I would love to see more horror films where it ends in the not having a final person at the end of it, where a villain of the film, and there's plenty of them. There's a handful of them that exist, but I always find those films to be more entertaining if the villain wins at the end of it, because while there's a handful of them, there you don't see it very often. So,
well, I got a question. So is the final girl really like winning if the bad guys in the background, like, getting up and limping off into the woods, like, is that really winning? Because they're still there. They're still alive.
Yeah.
They just didn't kill that one person.
Or you could, you know, be dumb and just, you know, have that character, that villain that just cannot die, you know, make that stupid movie. You know.
Which, oh, like, that's kind of an unpopular opinion.
Those dumb movies exist. Patrick.
They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do. We're going to be working on the third one of those here.
Yeah, can't wait.
Here's one. The more jump scares, the better.
See, I
disagree.
I'm not a jump scare person, so I hate jump scares.
That's what I'm saying. I hate jump scares, and when films rely on jump scares in order to scare the audience, I think that's cheap, that's easy, that's lazy.
I've seen some really cool jump scares, but the ones that I don't like that they use a lot in movies are just the loud noise and the sudden like thing, which I'm like, is that a jump scare or an attempt to give someone a seizure?
Yeah.
Or when they use animals.
Yeah, the animals one is
like just terrible. I open a cupboard door and a cat runs out.
They're awful. They're just like you said, they're cheap. There's cheap you know, spots.
It's lazy writing, I feel.
It's lazy.
You don't have faith in the story.
I'm okay with them being in movies. Just don't rely on them for your horror.
Right.
Or don't, you know, do one and don't do 100 of them.
Right.
Throughout your 90-minute movie. So, God, what are some of the other ones that I kind of...
I've got one.
Go, Greg.
Low-budget horror movies are far superior to Hollywood big-budget.
Low-budget movies are superior to big-budget films? I actually agree with that.
I would almost agree with that. It forces you to be more creative on what you're doing. I think high-budget tends to, again, kind of jump back to that relying on effects and jump scares and crap like that, as opposed to really trying to focus on scaring your audience. Also, with big budgets, that's probably going to be your PG-13 films, because they're playing the lowest common denominator, and you've got too much of the corporate heads calling the shots.
Yep,
they're going to be PG-13. They're going to have a star that you already know is safe. You know, we've seen plenty of those come out where, you know, there's a name actor, you already know that person's going to be safe for the whole movie. So there's no risk or danger involved when you're watching the film. Those low budget horror films that, you know, put non-name actors in them, where everybody is fair game to die, those are, you know, those are great. Those are far better than the Hollywood films come out. So I agree with that.
We can sacrifice these actors.
Maddie, I don't know if you were here, but like Greg brought up a good one about low budget indie films are superior to Hollywood horror films.
Fuck yeah. Of course they are. Yeah. That's not even a question. As you said, it's the lowest common denominator. They're trying to appeal to everybody, and this might be an unpopular opinion or not, but horror is not an everybody genre.
No, it doesn't need to be.
Like, a movie that encases shit like Human Centipede is not an everybody genre. You know what
I mean? It should be. Everybody should see Human Centipede once.
You know what? They should, because I, let me tell you, after I watched Human Centipede, I was very motivated to learn how to change a tire. And so I think...
That is true. You're right. I was wondering where that was going to go. I was wondering where you were going with. I was very motivated to learn, and I was like, uh-oh. Hit the mute button. Hit it.
Proctological surgery.
I really wanted to learn how to sew three dogs together. I was afraid something was coming. So.
Oh no, I'd never sew three dogs together.
Not dogs.
Yeah, not dogs. Cats, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe three bitchy middle-aged women. Yeah, whatever. My fucking weekend. What do I give a shit?
Just make sure you put the pearls in between each of them.
Humans.
I don't know what that means, and I don't want to know.
Like the pearl necklaces. The Karen touch peed. The pearls.
Oh, the Karen peed.
Yeah.
You'd all Karen love peed. That one. Karen peed.
I would watch that one. I won't watch Human Centipede, but I would watch Karen peed.
Write it down. God, that movie would make money. It would.
Oh, yeah.
I know. There would be so many hate watches.
Good. In a coffee house near you.
We probably know a few directors that would take that on, too.
Oh, yeah. Have we exhausted our unpopular opinions?
The only other one that I came up with is kind of in the same vein as my first one is foreign horror is far better to anything Hollywood puts out.
Yeah. I feel like foreign horror is far better than anything that anybody really puts out because, and again, Maddie would know better than I think any of us because she watches that crazy shit. But they go, there's no...
morals, that's the word you're looking for.
Is that it? They don't pull punches. They just go. Yeah. They just go for everything. They don't worry about who they might offend or who they're going to bother or who isn't going to like something. They just go. And Maddie suggested some horror films, some foreign horror that we've watched that's been some hard shit to watch. It's not safe. I guess that's what I'm looking at is it's not – there's no safety net with foreign horror film.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah,
which is why they are the better horror films.
Yes, yeah. So. Who's on which side of the, like, it needs to be gory, it doesn't need to be gory to be a good horror film?
I mean – it can go either way, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what you're looking for because gore films, they don't have to be good, but they're fun to fucking watch.
Yeah, they're tons of fun. Yeah. Those films
Martyrs
that are not
gore. Enters the chat.
Okay. Yeah, you win. Martyrs is not fun to watch. That's not fun at all. That's the only movie that we've ever watched on this podcast that actually pissed me off. When I was watching that movie. So, well, except for, never mind. I'll leave it alone.
I don't want to hear about Begotten again. I told you this week, I never want to hear you guys mention that again.
I don't think he was going to say Begotten.
Oh, I learned from Maddie that there's a sequel to Begotten. I had no idea.
Oh, fuck.
It's 17 minutes long. And I told her, I was like, we can watch that. 17 minutes? We can get through a 17-minute film. Come on.
Can we?
I would hope so. Any more, guys? Any more unpopular opinions? Any more discussion on... Any more Maddie moments?
Stop making PG-13 horror. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I will side with Maddie on that one.
Yeah, me too. And I know we've chatted about that on this podcast before, about PG-13 horror and just, you know... how it's ruining horror, just, you know,
here's
overall,
the thing.
In general.
If your kid is old enough to watch a horror movie, they don't need to be 17. Like, that's kind of, like, where it boils down to. Patrick, you got the rolly eyes over there.
I think there's some good PG-13 horror out there. It's just that they're diamonds in the rough. That you can't leave out things like The Sixth Sense... or 1408, which I think is pretty darn good. There's a Quiet Place. I really enjoyed that movie, and that's PG-13. So I think some PG-13, it can be good. It's just that most of it dumbs it down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, you need to... It's one of those things you need to search for.
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned three, Patrick, that are all really good movies. So, and I just forget that they are PG-13 movies. because content wise they could have gone either way, you know what I mean? If you look at Quiet Place, that had gore in it, and that had, I'm not sure it had language in it though, I guess, but
yeah, if it did, it was minimal, because 90% right. of that movie is hands or sign language.
That yeah, like unless they're going around like this, like how are they gonna have language in that fucking movie?
That is true.
That would have been funny.
Great.
Should we move on to our feature film? Let's talk about our feature film.
Yeah, let's talk about porn.
Yeah. Well, Maddie said it. Our feature film to cover for today is the film Porno. And I'm sure Patrick has some deets.
I sure do. Porno, 2019, running 1 hour and 38 minutes, now streaming on Tubi TV for free with ads. After a black... I didn't change that there. So here, let me look up this again.
After a black what?
Yeah, after Black Friday riot ends in tragedy, oh.
That's Thanksgiving.
I pasted Thanksgiving in there. So yeah, do give me a second to look up the right one, and I'm sure Greg, you can edit this right out.
But you shouldn't.
I shouldn't. No, I'm gonna go in and make Patrick say something about a black dick.
Yeah, well, there could have been a black dick in porno. So when five teen employees at the local movie theater in a small Christian town discover a mysterious old film hidden in its basement, they unleash an alluring succubus who gives them a sex education written in blood. IMDb rating is 5.1. Rotten Tomatoes critics rating 77%. Audience rating 40%. Oof. And guys, I'm going to apologize in advance. This was my pick for the film. And for some reason, I had a different storyline in the back of my head of what I thought this movie was about.
What, was there a pizza guy involved?
No, no. The storyline was actually for X.
Oh, okay.
People were going to start filming a porn and things started happening.
Okay.
Yeah, two different movies.
Two completely different movies. Yeah. So when I was like a quarter of the way through this, I'm going, what? This is not what I thought this was.
Where's the extra sausage?
Yeah, so I apologize in advance. Yeah, I'm not going to be the first one to talk about this movie. I'll let somebody else start.
No, it's cool. So you've answered my question I was going to ask you, which was why you chose this movie, and now we know, because you thought you were choosing X. Got it. In all fairness, too, this was not Patrick's original pick. His original pick was actually a really great pick. He chose Talk to Me, and it just was it's a rental on Prime. Yeah. And, you know, I just wasn't ready to – I've already paid for that movie once. So that's yeah, my thing. But Talk to Me actually is a great pick. So
we'll get it eventually.
But instead we got Porno, which is, you know, different. So I see Maddie just lighting up over there. So I think Maddie wants to start.
I'm gonna start by saying I appreciate the apology for this movie, because I was watching this and I'm like, this doesn't seem like something Patrick would pick.
Yeah, I was questioning that as well.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, damn, was he laying into the sauce when he picked this thing up? I will say I do love a good haunted video movie, and I do think that it was a clever way to incorporate how, because it's hard to do a haunted video movie anymore, right? Like, nobody knows what a VHS tape is. Nobody's got a VCR. Hardly anybody's got a DVD player. Like, it's hard to get, like, a good haunted movie. That saying, this was not a good haunted movie. This was garbage. I'm very sorry, Patrick. I know you didn't pick it on purpose, but it was bad all the way around. Like, there was, besides the, like, somewhat good idea. There was almost no redeeming qualities to this movie whatsoever. The acting was terrible. The dialogue was, if possible, worse. I don't really understand the, like, really over Christian characters. I don't know what it added to the story. Girls' boobs were nice. I guess that's, you know, the one nice thing. This video that they watch. Okay, yeah. The movie that they watched, the haunted movie, was fucking stupid. It looked like just a bunch of clips that some, I don't know, some brain dead teenager just made online, and they just discovered Photoshop and were like, look, I can make it fucking dance. And I don't fucking know. It was just, it was bad. Like, the only good part of it, I knew a lot of the straight edge kids in the hardcore scene, and all of them I hated. And so seeing one of them get their dick ripped off was, you know, it was kind of a nice pacifying moment for 18-year-old me. But yeah, other than that, I rather pour bleach in my eyeballs than watch this or anything from this director ever again. So yeah, I'm happy to hear it was a mistake. Should have been aborted, that kind of mistake. Oh. But that's okay. Shit happens.
Greg.
Forgive you, Patrick.
Gregory.
So this is a rewatch for me.
Right.
You know, Josh, you and I watched this for, what did we say? It was 2020? Or was it 19?
Yes.
You said you went back.
Okay, so
go ahead.
This was, it's interesting. We had this conversation. So this movie comes back up in our 2020 best of podcast.
Yeah.
And that was the year that it was the year that people were kind of like not arguing with us in our comment section, but they were saying, hey, this movie came out in 2019.
Oh yeah.
And we were going back and forth. And it was, okay, well, it may have been on the festival circuit in 2019, but it was released in the U.S. in 2020. And then Maddie had this really great comment about, like, look, people were arguing over toilet paper. Like, you know, please don't be so picky about the goddamn year it came out. That was part of our podcast. So, yes, Greg.
So we'll say it was 2020. Regardless, I had apparently put this in my honorable mentions for the best of 2020.
Right.
And going back, I can't really say that I want to change that. I can't change it, obviously, because it's set in stone. But I think that says what the state of the horror movies that we were watching in 2020 was.
Yeah.
That being said, Patrick, I love you. I didn't hate this movie as much as I thought I was going to, but it didn't do much for me. I wanted to care about the characters. It just wasn't there. The guy that ran the theater, I thought his little offing was justified. But again, being a rewatch, it wasn't anything. There wasn't anything there for me. So it was a very flat, very uninteresting film.
Patrick, you look like you had something to say when we were talking about the 2020 thing.
Right. Because as I was watching it, it just seemed extremely familiar to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One, it reminded me of a film that one of our friends had done for the Evening at the Grand or whatever it was called, that Matt Keister had done. He had done a film that was based in the 80s that took place at the Grand Theater in
the Christmas one?
Yeah.
And
I was sitting there thinking, is that why it seems familiar? But as the movie kept going on and on, I was predicting what was happening. So I had to have seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if I watched it in that same grouping as what you guys had done as well.
Yeah. So I'll come back to you, Patrick. I'll let you go. I'll let you go last and defend thyself if you choose to. Porno was number five, my number five pick in our 2020 top 10 list of that year. And while I would like to walk back, I won't. And I can't walk back on that. In 2020, that was my thought and my opinion. And I remember having a lot more fun with this movie on the original watch. And I think what got me also on this movie was not so much the movie itself, but like kind of the story and the creation of how it kind of came to be and the nostalgia of it with the taking place in the 90s and yeah. the screening of A League of Their Own and Encino Man and just pieces like that, which are always things that I appreciate when I see films that, you know, decade themselves, that period piece themselves. I always appreciate the nostalgia of those films. So I still do appreciate, sorry, that piece of the film. And the fact that this film did not exist before somebody said, hey, I have this much money and I will give you this much money if you guys write something and it has to be a horror movie. And those were the two stipulations to get this little bit of money that somebody had to invest in one of their films. They had no script, they had no story, they had no locations, they had no actors, they had nothing. And, you know, they just had the promise of some finances. And so they wrote this around, you know, around that. And they had to do it within a certain time frame. those were kind of their stipulations to make the movie. And so those are all things that I think went into that number five pick that year. But again, well, I know we're shitting on this movie and that's fine and dandy. I'm not going to shit on it because I've seen much, much, much worse. And there's still set pieces and there's still pieces in this movie that were kind of a lot of fun. I don't think when you walk into a film and the title is porno, that you are supposed to set your expectations super high. So, and I remember this movie when Patrick picked this movie, I was like, oh, okay. Like I said it in the group chat. I was like, oh, that movie was, I remember that movie being a ton of fun. Are there pieces of the movie that are like, that was terrible and that was dog shitty and that was garbage and that was crap? Yeah, there was a handful of those pieces in that movie. But again, I did not walk into the film thinking it was going to be a 10. You know what I mean? And so with that and being able to set the expectations kind of like mid-card or low, I wasn't like disappointed or bummed out or feeling like I was wasting my time watching this movie. Would I tell people to go out and chase it? Probably not. But if somebody came up to me and said, hey, I saw this movie on Tubi, it's called Porno, have you seen it? What do you think? I'm like, chase that shit. Go shot. It's an hour and 35 minutes of your time. Granted, you can't get it back, but I wouldn't tell somebody not to watch this movie either. So that's my horror opinion.
You know, I could see if you watched it when it came out, you know, during 2020 and, you know, the other things you were watching were, you know, people getting sick and your loved ones dying around them and thinking we were all going to die because they didn't have a vaccine. I could see this being entertaining if that's, you know, the other things you were watching.
Yes, it's better than dying. Yes, you're right. Shit. Patrick,
this was a tough watch for me to stay awake. To tell you the truth, I started this one late last night and probably should have saved it for this morning instead. It didn't hold me from the beginning. The whole Jesus camp type feel to it at the beginning
right.
was so incredibly unrealistic to start the film off with. I mean, any horror is going to be unrealistic. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're going to have to suspend our imaginations for just about every movie that we see. But it put me in a place where I just didn't care about these characters at all for the entire movie. And then just the situations that they were in, that they put themselves in, that they ended up in, seemed very formulaic, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And in my opinion, by the time I finished it, it seemed like it wanted to be a comedy horror,
mm-hmm.
but never quite got there. It's like, hey, let's just throw in a few jokes, but the jokes never landed anywhere, you know? And then also with the shock value, you know, the guy punching himself in the nuts until his scrotum erupts. It was interesting, but then he's up and running around 10 minutes later. And I, you know, after someone used their shoelaces to tie him back together. And at the end, the special effects were as bad as the writing, everything else. I'm not going to shit on the whole thing. I'm kind of with you, Josh, where if someone were to say to me, what did you think of this film? Should I watch it? I would say it wasn't for me. Go into it knowing that you're not going to have a high quality film.
Do you think that would you have appreciated the film? I wanted to say film and movie, and I almost said foovy. That would have been fun. do you?
What are you doing tonight? Oh, a foovy.
Watch the foovy. Do you think you would have maybe appreciated the is not the word, but enjoyed the movie a little more if they felt like they knew what they were making and they chose to lean into it a little bit more and almost be making fun of what they're making, like making fun of themselves and like not taking the film because it was horror comedy and the filmmaker will tell you it was horror comedy. That's what they made. But it was a horror comedy in the way of like taking themselves a little too seriously. And if they would have leaned into like, you know, making fun of themselves or what they were doing a little bit more and just the subject matter, could you have enjoyed that film a little more? And that goes out to the group.
I would say yes. If they were there to create a horror comedy and lean into it, especially kind of the tropes that they were trying to hit but couldn't quite get there, I think I would have enjoyed it much more.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you look at the subject matter, porno itself is the title.
Right.
And what they think they find is a porno film. Just lean into it more and make the situation so ludicrous
mm-hmm.
and the kills so much more over the top.
Right.
Because yeah. I thought the kills were kind of interesting, but just go completely over the top with them. Like the manager, the guy who runs the place, the way his demise in the bathroom toilet.
Right.
Could have been so much more enjoyable if it was just a complete bloodbath at that
right. point.
Or some that yeah. flew up and stuff like that, and then she drops his dick into the toilet, you know.
Right.
Just multiply it by 10 and mm-hmm. you've got right. the joke right there.
Yeah.
So they almost played it too safe in this particular instance. Because it almost feels like there were spots in there where they tried to do that. To make it ludicrous, like you've got this huge religious Christian community and you're throwing them a demonic succubus, like that's about as left and right as you can possibly get there, but they just didn't level up the intensity that they could have, I think, in that part.
Yeah, I don't know if it's about them playing it safe, and I didn't really look into this director as much as just not having the skill set to pull this off.
Sure.
Yeah, it just nothing in this movie seemed like it was made by skilled people. So, like, I don't think they just had it. Like, you're right, with horror comedies, I feel like you have to go really over the top
mm-hmm.
and make them ridiculous and funny and fun, and they just flattered in a white man's ass. Like, nothing. Nothing. I also love that, like, Patrick and Josh are both like, I'm not going to shit on this movie, and I just took a shit straight on this thing's chest. Like, bad.
I don't think I took a shit on that movie. I don't think I...
You guys said you weren't going to. And
I didn't say I wasn't going to shit on it, because I even apologized right at the beginning, because if I enjoyed the movie, I wouldn't have apologized. I would have said, hey, I had a happy mistake. What I thought we were going to get was this, but instead we got pure fucking gold.
Right.
But no.
Happy mistake.
Happy accidents. We don't make mistakes. Let's rate it. Let's rate it. Let's go through the motions of rating our porno. Who wants to go?
Oh, I'll give it a 4.
Good for you, Maddie. I was expecting such a much like a way lower number from you. So I'm
Tusks exist, so I have to give it a 4.
Yeah, you're right. Tusks does exist. I can't wait for the sequel. Greg?
I'll sit 3.5. 3.5.
What's that? 4.
I'll sit about 3.5, 4.
Wow, you went lower than Maddie? Jeez. Okay. I'm shocked. Lower than Maddie.
I'll give it a 4 because boobs.
Good for you.
That's
good
why I got it. Gave it a 4.
You know, I'm gonna. So audience score, I think, was 40%. I think there was like a. I'm gonna lean in between some of the other scores, and I'm gonna go with a 6.
I'm gonna give this film.
Greg.
I'm gonna give this film a 4.
God, all of you guys are ball busters. I'm leaving.
No, the guy in the film was his own ball buster.
That is true.
Patrick was funnier in the whole fucking movie.
Okay, well, with that low ball score, God, I'm sitting out here on an island by myself giving the fucking thing a 6. Trying to be friendly. But again, I won't walk back. Anything else, guys? Anything else about porno or about unpopular opinions or about this whole goddamn podcast was cuckoo. Anything else? Anything else?
I do think that it's weird that this movie got a critic score of like 70-something. Because like this doesn't seem like anything a critic would like thumbs up, and not just because I thought it was bad, just like it doesn't, I feel like critics normally don't go for like low and even budget. On the critic,
yeah, with the critic score that was 52 reviews.
Yeah, it's because of the Bush. I'm gonna stand by that.
I should go back to 3.5 because of the Bush.
It was real bad.
With that Bush comment, I'm going to say goodbye for us.
It was
for
Bush
the Screen Queen Maddie, for the Doctor of Filmonomics, and for the Doctor of Everything Else. Bush out.